And good morning, everyone. You're listening to Green Tapestry. I'm James Carroll, sitting in for Peggy. We're very honored again to have Alan Turnbull here. Thanks for being here, Alan.
Hi, good morning, James. Thank you for having me back on your show again.
Well, it's a pleasure. Now, catch me up to what's happening here in Bala Falls. I know Peggy's concerned about some trees that were marked that aren't necessarily on that.
That's right, and that's why Peggy is not here this morning. She feels she has to be on the site. Just over a week ago, some of the trees were marked. Some of them are on the Portage site where the proposed hydro plant is supposed to be built. But some of them are not. Some of them are actually not even on the Crown land, as they're definitely on township land. And one has been marked in Margaret Burgess Park, which is the park on the other side of the falls next to the United Church in Bala. As nobody has admitted to it, I know the local councillors are following up with the township of Muskoka Lakes, because some of them are definitely on township land. It's just very strange. And
now, would that have been the work of Swift Energy?
Probably of subcontractors.
Right.
They do have a land use permit for the Crown land, and we understand, we've not seen that particular contract that gave them the land use permit. We haven't seen that permit. But a standard format of the land use permit does not give the occupier permission to take down trees. So it is a bit disturbing. We're trying to find out what's happening, and at the moment we don't really know. It might have been a prank. It in some ways it looks like it's just been done at random.
Well, now let's get to what we need to talk about this morning. The cost of energy, when they install this Bala Falls power plant, that would be a great thing, so that we would have our own energy, we wouldn't have to buy it from anywhere. And
well, it would only add 4.5 megawatt hours. It's completely insignificant. But actually, it was my concern about the Bala Falls hydro plant that got me interested in hydro pricing. And I've got a question. I know you're supposed to be asking the questions, but
no, that's okay. I don't mind a little role reversal.
But here's a question. How much has the price of electricity fallen in Ontario in the past 7 years?
I'll check my bill, but I'm sure that you mean how much has the price of electricity gone up?
No, that was not a mistake. How much has the price of electricity fallen in Ontario in the past 7 years? You know the answer? It's 46%. It's a huge drop.
Now, where did you get that figure, Alan?
That's right out of the Ontario Auditor General's 2014 annual report that just came out last month. See, we've all got used to our hydro bills just going up year after year.
Mm-hmm.
And the government is even warning us that they're just going to keep on going up. And when I started to think about it, this struck me as a bit strange, because demand for electricity in Ontario has been coming down steadily. In fact, it's come down every year since 2005, while the productive capacity of electricity in the province has been going up. Now, Economics 101, which I did take at university, tells you that if supply is increasing and demand is decreasing, then the price should be decreasing as well.
Right.
So I started looking into what was happening. And what I found was that the law of economics has not been broken. Just as you would expect in any market where the demand is falling and the supply is increasing, the market price of electricity in Ontario has actually come down, and it has come down substantially by 46%. The Ontario electricity market is actually very efficient. with producers and the big, the wholesale purchasers, they're bidding all the time against one another. And the resulting price is called the HOEP, the Hourly Ontario Energy Price. In fact, though, the price, the bidding, the ask and demand, it's almost like the stock exchange. The price is being set and reset every 5 minutes. And you can actually go online to the website of Ontario's Independent Electricity System Operator, the IESO. And their job is basically to manage supply and demand of electricity in the province. And you can actually see the hourly rate changing every 5 minutes. They post it live. Now, sometimes it spikes. It can go up to hundreds of dollars, but only very briefly. Usually it's around the 2 or 3 cents per kilowatt hour level. And last month, in December, the average weighted price was actually 2.25 cents per kilowatt hour. Two and a quarter cents.
Now, why don't I see that in my hydro bill? Because I'm paying much more than $2.25.
2 cents
or 2 cents, 2.25 cents per kilowatt hour. My hydro bills keep going up, and how come you and I are not paying a lower price?
Same with me. My bill is a lot more than that. The answer is due to something called the global adjustment. I don't know where they came up with that term. It's completely meaningless. But the price of electricity that shows up on your hydro bill, and I'm not talking about the delivery charge, the debt retirement charge, or whatever other charges they have on that. It's simply the charge for the electricity that you use. That part of your bill, the pure hydro part of it, is made up of two components. Now, you don't see this breakdown on your hydro bill, which is criminal. But the two components, the first one is the price of the electricity. It's the price that Ontario sells its electricity for on the open market. That's what averaged the 2.25 cents per kilowatt hour in December. But then the second part of it is this global adjustment. Now, while the price of electricity fell by 46% between 2006 and 2013, the other part of your hydro bill, the global adjustment, went up by almost 1,200%.
Holy!
Yeah, from $654 million in 2006 to $7.7 billion in 2013. So that's why your electricity bill has kept going up, even as the price of electricity has kept coming down. Blame the global adjustment.
All right, I don't know what a global adjustment is. So what is it?
It is...
I can see that Arlo's not happy with this global adjustment either.
He certainly isn't. The global adjustment, the name is completely meaningless. I don't know what is global about it, and certainly the adjustment seems to infer that it's just something very minor. But basically, the global adjustment is a subsidy paid to power generators because they cannot make a profit with the electricity prices so low. And no matter how low the market price of electricity in Ontario goes, we, you and I, the poor consumers, will not benefit. You see, because no matter what, we're being required to pay the hydro producers their guaranteed prices. You know, the global adjustment is actually a huge, it's a massive transfer of wealth. But it's a transfer from the poor to the rich. It's Robin Hood in reverse. It's a transfer from the poor old widow trying to live on her government pension and wondering how she's going to pay her next hydro bill. It's a transfer from the likes of her to the wealthy developers, because it's only the wealthy ones who can afford to build the new hydro plants or to lobby the government to keep this insane system in place. And the subsidy, the figures we're talking about are enormous. Now, these figures all come from the Auditor General's report. I'm not making them up. I'm not taking them from some crank organization. It's from the Ontario Auditor General. By 2015, the 10-year cumulative global adjustment cost is expected to reach $50 billion.
Holy moly.
Now, to put this in perspective,
please,
$50 billion is sufficient to cover the 2014 provincial deficit almost five times. It would be enough to pay the annual salary of about 2.3 million people working full-time at the provincial minimum wage. That money could keep 2.3 million Ontarians in jobs. And it's about, and this is really sad, it's about 7.5 times more than the $6.6 billion that we spent in 2012-2013 on all social assistance programs. Now, all those figures are right out of the Auditor General's report. All those comparative figures, they are her comparisons. And, you know, things are just going to get worse.
Now, hang on to that thought, Alan, okay?
Yep.
If we're going to get worse, let's take a commercial break here, and then we'll come back and see how we can get to the bottom of this.
Okay.
I'm being joined today on the Green Tapestry with Alan Turnbull. We'll be right back. And welcome back to Green Tapestry. I'm James Carroll, sitting in for Peggy. With me today is Alan Turnbull. Alan, can you continue with this, the Auditor General's report, but specifically we were talking about the global adjustment and global adjustment charges. What is the problem here?
The root of the problem is simple. It's Ontario is paying huge subsidies to generate electricity that is not needed. Since 2005, demand for electricity in Ontario has been falling steadily. And yet, instead of adjusting to this fall in demand by reducing the supply, the province is actually increasing capacity. And as a result, the supply of available power has steadily increased, and it's been consistently higher than peak demand. And it's consistently much higher than the reserve that the IESO is required to maintain above peak demand. And this is another point that the Auditor General has made. We just have too much capacity. And what happens to the surplus? It ends up being exported to our neighbors in New York and Michigan, who also happen to be our industrial competitors. Between 2006 and 2013, net exports went up by 158%, from 5.2 terawatt hours in 2006 to 13.4 terawatt hours in 2013. Now, don't ask me what a terawatt is, but it's an awful lot of electricity, I can tell you that. Now, all that sounds great. Exports are good, aren't they? Exports mean jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, as the export price is the market rate, that 2.25 cents per kilowatt hour that you were so amazed about, those exports are being sold at a huge loss. Sometimes we even end up paying New York to take our surplus electricity off our hands. So what we have is a policy where we are being required through our hydro bills to subsidize developers so that they can produce very expensive electricity that we can't use and which we have to end up selling to our international competitors at rock-bottom prices. No wonder the manufacturing sector in Ontario has been hollowed out. These exports mean jobs, all right, but they're jobs in New York, jobs in Michigan. It's just economic lunacy to keep adding capacity to an oversaturated market. Now, the fall in the market price of electricity would normally result in a reduction in supply, and we're going to see that happening in the oil industry where the price has been coming down. But in Ontario's electricity market, because of the subsidies which are guaranteed, There's no check on the subsidized hydro producers who just can keep producing and producing, or even sometimes are paid not to produce. And they keep producing whether there's a demand for their product or not. Now, quite recently in a question in the Legislature, Energy Minister Bob Chiarelli compared the electricity system to Walmart. And here's an exact quote. Walmart buys snowblowers. They expect to sell X number of snowblowers in a winter. At the end of the winter, if they haven't sold those snowblowers, they sell them at a discount. That's part of doing business. And that's correct. If Walmart found that they had bought more snowblowers than they could sell at a profit, then of course they would dump them. But, and here's the difference, they would learn from their mistake and they'd cut back on their order for the next winter. Ontario does just the opposite in its electricity policy. Just like Walmart, it has to dump its excess inventory. But then they turn around and they increase production. And so they have to dump even more. It's just a bizarre system.
Now, how does all this tie in with the proposed hydro plant at Bala Falls?
Yeah, because that's an issue that is close to my heart. Well, unbelievably, the province is still planning even more overcapacity. More overcapacity. And the people of Bala are victims of that. The proposed new hydro plant in the Bala Falls is going to destroy the park on the south side of the falls forever. It's one of the few places where the public has access to waterfront in Muskoka, and it's one of the most beautiful viewpoints in the whole area. Mm-hmm. The site's a traditional portage for the Water Mohawks and other First Nations, portage that has been used by thousands of canoeists in modern times. I've seen hundreds of canoeists use that portage. The plant will destroy the main tourist attraction in Bala. Bala actually used to be called Bala Falls. It's what we're famous for. And you know, that's bad enough, but the saddest thing about it is that it's all a complete waste of the public's money. The last thing that Ontario needs right now is another subsidized hydro plant. And this proposed plant would be subsidized to the tune of over $100 million over its first 40 years. Now, where does that subsidy, where does that $100 million come from? Well, that's what the global adjustment is for, is to pay subsidies to producers who cannot make a profit. And without the subsidy, this project would never even be considered for 5 seconds. And that Bala's main tourist attraction would be destroyed for a policy that is just sheer futility and waste. It's just sickening. But my point today is that the Bala Falls hydro plant is not just a disaster for Bala. It's just part. It's just an example of the larger disaster for all the people of Ontario. We're all being gouged through our hydro bills to subsidize a few wealthy developers to produce something that is not needed. Every hydro user in Ontario, including everyone listening to this radio station, should feel angry at a government policy which makes no sense and which is costing them dearly. It's not only the people of Bala who will suffer if this proposal goes ahead. It is everybody in Ontario. The plant is not wanted, it is not needed, and it will cost every hydro user in Ontario.
So, what do you suggest the government do?
Well, the government is doing some good things. They should be doing more, much more, to conserve electricity and to promote energy efficiency. Last week, The Economist had a major report on energy and technology, and that article talks about energy efficiency as being the fifth fuel. And it is by far the cheapest fuel of all, by far. In fact, a lot of that fuel can be found for absolutely nothing. And The Economist talks about clever, efficient new ways of storing electricity. And by some counts, they quote a study that said 1 megawatt of storage replaces about 10 megawatts of generating capacity.
Huh.
They talk about paying consumers to switch off at peak periods. Now, that may sound odd, utility companies paying you to switch off, but again, that proves to be much cheaper than building more generating capacity. They talk about energy plus buildings, which can actually produce electricity. They can harvest energy from their environment and sell it. They talk about plunging transmission costs, which will connect previously isolated power grids, which will let all the electricity in the continent be used much more efficiently. You know, this absolutely amazed me. There's a plan for Iceland to export electricity to Britain. That's how efficient modern conductors are. The Ontario Clean Air Alliance, which is it's an absolutely green organization, has been very influential. It fought so hard to have coal power generators shut down in Ontario. They've long advocated buying all the additional hydro that we need from Quebec.
But isn't conservation or energy conservation part of the government's energy policy?
Oh, it is, yeah. If you go to the Ministry of Energy's website, you'll find a very impressive document, Conservation First. And mm-hmm. It has lots of information about the benefits of conservation and what Ontario has been doing to achieve it. And it has been doing some things. That's part of why the demand for electricity has come down since 2005. In 2004, the Ontario government announced a plan to reduce energy conservation by creating what they called a culture of conservation. Now, key elements in this were smart meters and time-of-use pricing, under which you pay more for electricity consumed during peak periods. And that all makes sense. Time-of-use pricing is very, very important, because as long as peak demand does not go over capacity, then you do not need any more capacity at all. In fact, Ontario hasn't been at its peak demand. The highest demand on any one day was back in 2006. But actually, the results of these policies have been disappointing, in particular the time-of-use pricing. When it was introduced in 2006, the on-peak rate was 3 times higher than off-peak. But by the time that the Auditor General was doing an audit of the electricity system, that differential had fallen to only 1.8 times. And that's not really enough to get a lot of people motivated to move their usage to off-peak. So why has it come down? Why did the government tout this time-of-use policy, and then we see that the differential has fallen from 3 to less than 2? And why has it come down? And this is a direct quote from the Auditor General's report. It came down, the differential was squeezed, quote, due to significant increases in the global adjustment, unquote. So here we are back at the global adjustment. Now, everywhere you look in hydro pricing, the global adjustment seems to be the problem. And remember what it is. It's a subsidy paid to developers to produce more electricity that we do not need.
Alan, we're unfortunately running out of time here.
Okay.
Is there any final thing you'd like to share with us before we go?
Well, I want to ask the question, why do we need any more hydro capacity at all? My challenge to the government is this. Just cancel all plans for increasing hydro production. You know, if you build the production, we'll use it. If you want to cut down in production, if you want to cut down in consumption, then don't produce any more. We're already producing much more than we need anyway. We don't need to produce any more. Let's get serious about using our current production as efficiently as possible. Now, that's what I call real green energy. Not the kind of so-called green energy that would destroy a small tourist town just to enrich the developer.
Mm-hmm. Follow the money, Alan.
Follow the money.
Thank you so much for being here and for an incredible, informative episode of Green Tapestry. You've been listening to Green Tapestry with Alan Turnbull. Thanks again, Alan.
Thank you, James.